WFSU-FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the February 28, 2017 luncheon meeting of NEBA, the Network of Entrepreneurs and Business Advocates. This meeting features a panel discussion on permitting and local government's construction project approval process. On the panel, multi-state builder Roger Osborne, Rick Moore of Moorbass Consulting, and Tallahassee business owner Jeremy Matlow. And now to introduce and moderate the discussion, here's Tallahassee Democrat publisher Skip Foster.
Okay, so my job here today is to fulfill the wishes of NEBA and let these guys present and then facilitate questions getting from you to them. I have questions here from the executive committee that these fellas have not seen. They've actually been under the watch of PricewaterhouseCooper for the last 48 hours. So we can be sure that they are... Yeah, that's it. It's the only material I brought today. We're talking about permitting, after all, and it's not supposed to be fun. Okay, so let me introduce our three panelists here. This is how this is going to work. They're going to get about 10 minutes each. I'm going to introduce all three of them, then we'll start down on the end with Jeremy. 10 minutes each. Then I'll ask the questions from the executive committee, then questions from you folks, and then we will see who remains upright. Jeremy Matlow on the end is a managing partner and founder of Gain Street Pies, Midtown Pies, Northside Pies, Warhorse Whiskey Bar, and the Wilberry. Jeremy's passions include creating cool, unique brands and engaging with the community on charitable and artistic projects. His latest project as a member of the Gain Street Community Association is the Souk Sundays on Gaines, a weekly event which invites over 100 vendors, local musicians, and people from all over Tallahassee to come to the area, eat brunch, and enjoy what Gaines Street has to offer. Welcome, Jeremy. Next is Rick Moore. I have Rick Moore's complete life history here, from which I will read a few things. Rick is a professional engineer and owner and partner at Moorbass Consulting, which has 52 employees and offices in Tallahassee and in Georgia. They do surveying, engineering, planning, landscape architects. He is a graduate of the University of Florida, which you may know is located in Gainesville. And his professional registrations include being a professional engineer registration in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Colorado, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina. He served on the a number of boards in town, TMH, TCC Foundation. He was in Leadership Tallahassee, has done about everything with the chamber that you can do. Has been on the City of Tallahassee Architectural Review Board, Historic Tallahassee Preservation. His project experience includes the Wilani Plantation Project, North Florida Mega Industrial Park in Columbia County, Heart of Georgia Mega Site in Dublin. What's a mega site? Never mind. Work at TMH, Killarn, Golden Eagle, and a lot more. So welcome to Rick Moore. Finally, two away from me is Roger Osborne. He is born in New York City but grew up in South Carolina and attended the most prestigious university in all the land, the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee. Your moderator is a graduate of the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee. Actually attended Sewanee. We were talking about Vietnam interfered with that, so he finished up at FSU and has also gotten advanced degrees at Georgia State. In 1984, he moved to New Orleans and at the age of 33 became the youngest CFO of a major national real estate development company. In 89, he started his own real estate development company, and in 1990, he developed the Northeast Office Park here in Tallahassee on Mahan Road. And in 1992, was awarded the lease to build the 45,000 square foot Tallahassee VA outpatient clinic, becoming the first person awarded a government lease that was not based on low bid, but on a combination of points awarded based on price, quality of the project, and qualifications. Did a little stint in Houston. Back here in 2014, he developed Midtown Center on Thomasville Road, and in 2015 was awarded a 20-year lease by the United States Department of Agriculture to build a new 30,000-square-foot prototype R&D building for the sterile insect release program. This is the first building of its type built in the world specifically designed for this purpose. He is a veteran, having spent 6 years with the United States Coast Guard. Please welcome Roger Osborne. So, Roger, since we're most familiar now with your qualifications, I'm going to give you the lead-off spot for your 10-minute presentation. Then we'll move down the line, and then we'll keep going. So, take it away.
Let's see, can everybody hear me?
No. There you go.
Can everybody hear me now?
A little closer.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Well, I think the topic today is permitting, and I'm representing, I guess, from the owner point of view. And in my point of view, permitting is crucial to a community and how it's done and how it's conducted. You cannot look at economic development of a community without also looking at how you bring projects online, how you permit them, because it is the welcoming car to your city, and how the attitude and the process of which that is done is sets the mode for all your development. In my humble opinion, your permitting and what have you, it's a piece of the puzzle of your economic development and the growth of the common community that you want. It affects not only your job growth and job opportunities, it also affects your housing formation of your communities. In affecting your job growth and the type of growth you have, it also affects your crime rate, your infant mortality rate, and your economic mobility. I don't think there is a more important issue. I don't think it gets the amount of attention that it should. And having developed projects all over the country, I think I've seen a lot of different development codes and approaches to real estate development. Tallahassee is unique, and I'm sorry I have to say that the reputation of Tallahassee expands across the United States. It takes longer to get a project done in Tallahassee than anywhere else. I am right now doing this facility, 30,000 square foot facility down in Sarasota. We got our permits down there and get the site permitted in 35 days. And 45 days after that, we got our construction permits. That would take 6 months to a year to do in Tallahassee. I want to talk about a little bit about the problems that I have here in Tallahassee in building the VA outpatient clinic. And Rick was the engineer on that project. We all still have a lot of scar tissue. It's that piece of property on Mahan Drive. Give you an example, to develop that from a raw piece of land to what it is today, involved two lawsuits, involves three circuit court judges, the U.S. attorney, the FBI, the attorney general of the VA. That's just a few of the people that was involved. It shouldn't take that to permit a project, in my humble opinion. I don't know what the attitude was to stop the VA from building in Tallahassee to build that project. But the repercussions of what that happened to us in building that project, where they built the new VA outpatient clinic. Just to give you an example, the VA required that the new VA outpatient clinic in Tallahassee be totally permitted before they would release the RFP. It is the only city in the United States that the VA has done that they had done that. And in the pre-development meeting, one of the developers asked the contracting officer, who was John Blake, and why they were requiring the project to be totally permitted before they would release it, because it's Tallahassee. He was the project manager on the VA clinic that I built here. So he remembered, and the VA really didn't think this project, the original project, was ever going to get built. To tell you why, how it affects your economic development, I attended a conference in Houston, and they had a panel, and I'll never forget this. And they were just discussing zoning, and Billy Burge, who was the chairman of Metro, chairman of Ayrshire Corporation, got up and he said, "What we don't want in Houston, Texas, is a permitting and a bureaucracy like they have in Tallahassee." Sitting in that room was billions of dollars of people. There's the CEO of Continental Airlines, all the major executives were sitting in that audience. And that's what happens. I think that is what's causing problems in the economic development of Tallahassee. The other problems, Eddie, as a developer owner in doing the Midtown Center, something I found unique in Tallahassee we have here, we had a conflict between the county and the city in permitting the project, because Gaines Street is a county road. Thomasville Road is a city road. So we had to go through we had a conflict between the permitting, between what the county wanted and what the city wanted. The county wanted to didn't want a drive-through of the parking lot from Thomasville Road to Gaines Street, but the city wanted it. So that just delayed the project until that was resolved, and it takes time. I don't know why we have different jurisdictions in Tallahassee, because to get a driveway permit, you have to go to other different government entities. But there is I think probably part of the problem, there's from my point of view, as an owner, maybe there is a mindset of trying to find solutions to develop and permit a project, but trying to create problems to delay it. And I don't find that in other communities. And a part of our problem is, I think, another codes that I've seen, I get the one that was in Brighton, New York, was working on a VA clinic. Brighton's right outside Rochester, New York. And VA told us, "Roger, that's going to be a tough place to develop. That's what we've heard." I went up there and met with those development people. Their development code is all written in very clear, definitive, declarative sentences. And it's basically stated, you can build 10,000 square feet per acre. If you meet that qualification, you can develop that site. I was astounded. I called the VA back up and said, "This is a piece of cake." Because it really tells you what you can do and what you can't do. And you absolutely don't. And what I found here in my experience in Tallahassee is that there's always been a conflict between the development code, concurrency, and zoning. You may be able to get something done through the zoning, but the development code will contradict that, and it takes a long, long time to work out all those different conflicts. And then things come subjective, and subjected by different interpretations. But there's, like anything, there's room for improvement. But I think there's I think we can look at other communities like Sarasota and what have you that do have, that are getting good results. They're providing for the safety and health welfare of the population, but still getting the permitting job done. I'll turn it over to Rick.
Go ahead, Rick.
Good. Thanks. I'll start by turning this on.
There you go. Can you hear me now?
A short story, and the Lord spoke to Noah and said, in 1 year, I'm going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until the flesh is destroyed, but I want you to save the righteous people, two of every kind of living thing on the earth. Therefore, I'm commanding you to build an ark. In a flash of lightning, God delivered the specifications for the ark, and in fear and trembling, Noah took the plans and agreed to build the ark. Remember, the Lord said, you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 1 year. Exactly 1 year later, the fierce storm clouds covered the earth. All of the seas went into tumult. The earth looked down, saw Noah sitting in his front yard with his head in his hands, weeping. Noah, he asked, where's the ark? Lord, please forgive me, cried Noah. I did my best, but there were big problems. I had to I had to get a permit for the construction of your plans, and your plans didn't meet the codes. I had to hire an engineering firm to redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a sprinkler system and flotation devices. Then my neighbor objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building the ark in my front yard, so I had to get a variance from the city planning board. Then I had the problem of getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect a caucated red-headed woodpecker. I finally convinced the U.S. Service that I needed to save the woodpeckers. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service won't let me catch the woodpeckers, so no woodpeckers aboard. The EPA notified me I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact statement on your proposed flood. They didn't take very kindly to the idea that they had no jurisdiction over the conduct of the creator of the universe. Then the Army Corps of Engineers demanded a new floodplain map, so I sent them a globe. I just got a notice from the state that I owe them some kind of a user tax and have failed to register the ARC as a recreational watercraft. Finally, the ACLU got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ARC, saying since God is flooding the earth, it's a religious event, therefore unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish this ARC for another 5 or 6 years. The skies began to clear, the sun began to shine, the seas began to calm, and a rainbow arched over the sky. Noah looked up hopefully and said, you mean you're not going to destroy the earth, Lord? No, the Lord said sadly, I don't have to. The government already has. The story is indicative of the complexity of what the word permitting means. I mean, if you just deal with the word permitting, every project has a different fingerprint. Every project has a different story about the landform that you're trying to build on, whether it's zoning, topography, floodplain, threatened and endangered species, who the neighbors are. Every project has kind of a unique a thumbprint. So when you say permitting, they're really to have kind of an impact in a positive direction. If the goal is to kind of declare the problem and then address the problem and propose solutions, there really becomes, instead of a broad brush, a need to, in forums like this, to kind of draw specific stories out of specific things and specific jurisdictions so that you know how to move forward. And I'll just give you a sense of, in our community, the agencies that we deal with on a regular basis just to get something built. The city of Tallahassee issues permits both for or approvals for the design configuration of your site, where the parking is, where the landscaping is, and they also issue a permit for the building. And if you're in the county, they issue the permits for the site configuration, and they have a building permit department that issues the building permit. And so we're already, when we talk about permitting, necessarily needing to unwind our stories to at least understand whether we're talking about a project in the city or a project in the county. And that shows you start there. The overlay is the state of Florida decides that they have some say-so also. And so they have a Department of Environmental Protection that issues permits. We have a water management district that issues an overlay of a permit. If you're in a canopy road protection zone in the All Saints District or in the MMTD District, you have another type of approval that's a, kind of an overlay approval of your entire package. So it is a fair statement, I think, to say that the permitting process is complicated. There's nothing that in today's world is easy. And I'll tell you that I believe that the construct of the permitting process reflects a bunch of reflects a bunch of laws that get passed down that have to be implemented at a local level. I would say if there's anything good about the permitting process, that once you have it, at least in this community, it's my belief that you're protected from third-party challenges. I mean, there could be nothing worse than getting a permit, building a project, and then having a lawsuit filed by an affected third party that can stop you while you're under construction. So I think that the intensity of the reviews that you receive are certainly done with an eye to make sure that you've touched all the bases and that you don't end up with a regulatory exposure or a third party appeal exposure on your application. In our world, we joke that I have a professional designation. It's a PE. I thought originally it was a professional engineer. I'm certain now that it's a permitting engineer. As we are assembled onto teams that start with a blank piece of property, the idea of some of the most courageous people in the world, probably sitting up here beside me as a land developer with an idea of what they want to build, and an effort to try to navigate through a system balancing all of those various permitting objectives. We measure permitting in communities, and we have a chance to work in more communities than just Tallahassee. We do some work in Georgia, and Georgia is pretty close to the Wild West. I mean, Georgia compared to Florida is much looser of a set of imposed regulations. But we deal with the cost of permitting. We deal with the time that it takes to permit. And then we deal with this certainty of outcome. Can I get to the, if I start, can I finish? We measure each of the regulatory environments that we work in really in time, money, and certainty of outcome. Those are the three currencies that people who are trying to either build a restaurant or build a VA clinic are very interested in, because everybody's making promises and commitments. I think the story of Tallahassee probably has three, and permitting in Tallahassee has three timelines associated with it. There's kind of a past, present, and future. And I think it would be fair as you start to understand permitting to understand that the attitude and the process of permitting really follows leadership. I remember days, I'm old enough to remember a lot of senior elder statesmen and women county commissioners. But think of the environmental bent of folks like Cliff Thayil and Bob Ratcliffe. Heck, I even remember Gary Yorton chaining himself to a tree. And that was, but when he was running Gripe Night for WFSU, he was on every Saturday night taking complaints from citizens. And while he had a bully pulpit, and when they were building the food line on Park Avenue, the clearing associated with food line struck him the wrong way. He went out there and chained himself to a palm tree, got himself in the news, got himself elected county commissioner. But there was a period of leadership at the commission level in this community that had a different emphasis on environmental regulation, growth management, and control of growth. I would tell you, I think you probably have a different lineup right now if you go through and look at your city and county commission folks who probably have not completely a business orientation, but I would say a strong business orientation. I mean, Brian Deloge is a business guy, and so he has an open ear towards the side of permitting. I mean, you know, Maddox, Ziffer, I mean, all of these guys are plugged in a different way than the past. And so present, in addition to your electeds, is your appointed leaders. And so you've got Vince Long at the county and Rick Fernandez, who I saw is here today at the city. And I haven't seen our community better poised with two progressive leaders and demanding out of their permitting departments some kind of a focus on time, turnaround, responsiveness. I'm not going to tell you it's perfect, but I tell you we have the right attitude and the right push down that is creating an environment for some kind, for the possibility of improvement here relative to our story tied to permitting. I sit on the Business Advocacy Committee for the Chamber of Commerce, and we hosted two listening sessions for permitting in the community, folks who were engaged on a daily basis in permitting. And what we didn't hear surprised us. What we didn't hear was a lot of griping and complaining about the land development approval process. It may be that the economy just hasn't picked up enough to load enough of those projects into the chute, the subdivisions and the large-scale commercial centers. But we did hear a lot about building permits. I mean, we did hear a lot, both in the city and the county, about the building permitting processes and suggestions for improvement. So there, we pulled two groups together, the residential building permit and the commercial building permit groups, and they gave us feedback that are being baked into a series of discussions to hope to kind of modify and improve, but all focused on lowering the cost, lowering the time frame, and increasing the certainty of outcome. With that, I'll just pause and turn it over to you.
All right. Hey, thanks for inviting me out. I'm going to talk about a little smaller scale developments, but I really want to get into how the permitting process affects startups, somebody who has an idea. I want to get a place and start a business. If you go to the City of Tallahassee's website, you click starting a business, it still lists taxes and what you can do in your home and all this, but there's no, you want to start a business, let us help you, let us work together. When we first started Gain Street Pies, I opened Oldfield's Clothing Company. It took about 30 days to open. It was already a retail space. A space opened up on Gain Street, and I said, hey, that's a good spot for a pizza shop. There was a guy trying to open a bar there who was stuck in the permitting process. And he said, if I can't get this permitted and I can't open it, then I'll lease it to you. I said, okay, great. So we leased the spot. 13 months later, we got through the permitting process and started building. It was, we ran out of money twice. We had to do a crowdsourcing campaign, and thankfully, the Democrat ran a story on it. We raised over $10,000 to get us over the hurdle that we needed to do just to get our doors open. The permitting process was the hardest part of opening when we are developing our menu and developing our business plan. Like, this was our biggest hurdle in year one. Some of the issues we went through, we didn't have the money to hire a big architecture firm. We wanted to put a pizza oven and some sinks in a building and make pizza. So I drew that layout on Photoshop, and I went up to the city and I said, this is what I want to do. And they said, well, that's not how we're used to seeing things. And I said, well, show me where it says I have to have a blueprint. I want to put a sink there. I want to put a pizza oven there. Like, let's get this done. And the pushback was huge. So I went ahead and submitted the plans, got rejected. The city recommended a pre-submittal conference. So I was like, okay, I got rejected, let's go to this conference. The guy lays it out and he goes, oh, this isn't gonna pass, but let's submit it and see what happens. And rolls it up, I'm like, no, let's not submit it and see what happens. Like, I need to get this place open, like this is my livelihood on the line. So finally, after the second denial, the third denial, I got in touch with the person doing the review. And in a 20-minute conversation, we were able to talk through the issues and she was able to give me an approval. So why I had to get rejected twice to have a 20-minute conversation and wait 6 more months and lose all the money we had invested into it just didn't make any sense to us at all. So since then, we've opened 3 other locations, which were all pre-existing restaurants because I don't want to go through that process ever again. the biggest issue, another thing, I actually wanted to read this off. While we were going through this process, at the same time, Whole Foods was coming to town, and the Tallahassee Democrat, I believe, ran this, and it's on the Talga website. This is a quote from the people who brought Whole Foods. From the time of our initial inquiry, the city's permitting team has been incredibly helpful and responsive. The clear message we received from day one was the city wants our development, and they were willing to pull together teams to make it happen in record time. We came in with a sketch as a starting point for discussion, and within a matter of days of the initial discussions, the city's permitting team had a site plan that would better meet the city's goals as well as the design goals for Whole Foods before they even submitted anything. And we're like, a local business who lives here, where's the help? That's like, and so Whole Foods is an Austin, Texas company. So I took the liberty of going on Austin, Texas's website to see how they approach new businesses. Went on their website, starting a business. Would you like a liaison to walk you through the permitting process? Would you like to come to our business orientation program to lead you through the process? Would you like to join these job training classes? And that's the dynamic that's different. As you mentioned, working with the city staff isn't how can we work together to open businesses and grow the community. It's how many issues can we throw in front of you to slow you down? And we shouldn't be working against each other. We should be working as a team. We don't want to break codes. We don't want to do all that, but we need to know what we need to do. And if it can't be explained and it's just hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, it just makes it that much more difficult. I've seen on Gain Street four or five different live music establishments get shut down because they either didn't go through the permitting process, didn't know what to do, and so they close, and this happens time and time and time again. So it's really hurting the entertainment industry in Tallahassee. It's hurting the arts, and without the service industry and entertainment, we talk about bringing young people to work in tech jobs and that sort of thing. They want a cool town to live in, and we're actively making that harder to happen. That's all I got.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Yikes. So the questions that were submitted, I'm going to just read them real quickly, but they really, y'all have answered some of them, so be ready to be thinking up what you want to ask next. The first question was, and I believe two of you answered that have done projects in other cities. Have you done similar projects in other cities? So you talked about Georgia and you talked about Sarasota. And it sounds like you've been doing your work in town, right? So I think they've really answered kind of what the response was, and not to put words in your mouth, but a lot better in other places, right? The second question was, Roger, we'll start with you, was a checklist provided at the beginning of the process, and I might rephrase that a little bit to just maybe walk us through what the process is like. Jeremy did that a little bit, but how does it work?
I don't know, there's not a checklist given to you, but as the process starts, at first you got to find out that what your zoning is on your property that you want, and then you start going through the can you make the stormwater work on which is a major issue in Tallahassee doing stormwater, and then you have a meeting with the city to find out what the issues are, and that is kind of, be really honest, Copy. That's what you people want us to be here, and that's why we're all here, to be real honest. Give you an example. In doing the Midtown project, we went through the whole process and met with each one of the departments and thought we had an overall meeting in design. We went through the storm, the zoning, permitting, waste management, the electrical, stormwater, all the different issues, and then kind of get down to the landscaping, which is one of my real kind of thorn in the eye, but landscaping, and then give you an issue that we had on Midtown Center. And this is an example of why it takes so long and why it happens. After that meeting, we had a total agreement with the city of what we could do on the site on Thomasville Road. And Rick and his team went to work, did the site plan, and get everything permitted. And part of that agreement in that original meeting we had was, you know, that we would pay in lieu of for a sidewalk. So we thought we, you know, we went through that process and knew everything. 2 months later, after all the plans were done and submitted, somebody at the city wanted a sidewalk on Gaston Street. We said, well, we had an agreement that we would pay in lieu of. No, we want a sidewalk. So we had to scrap the entire site plan. Rick had to start all over again, move the building 10 feet. Everything had to move, so it affected everything. The whole site work had to be done, so it doubled our engineering cost. So there is no checklist, and as you're going through the process, you don't have any certainty of what you're going to come up with at the end. So that's how I answer the question.
Okay, you want to add anything to that, Rick or Jeremy? No? Okay. Did you speak and or work with the same person throughout the process? How about Jeremy? You want to take that one?
No. It seemed nobody along the process kind of knew what was going on with the other part of the process. We were just opening a pizza restaurant, but we did have to go through concurrency and land use because it was a change of use. So when we got to land use, they're like, well, you need to go through concurrency. I'm like, yeah, we did that. We got through land use, and they're like, well, you need to go through land use if you want to do this. It's like, yeah, we did that. We're trying to put a pizza restaurant here. And it was just, the overall perception was like, you're not going to do it. I know other people have opened restaurants who've been told you don't have enough money to open a restaurant in that location. A quote was, when asked about what the code would be, was, son, I am the code. And then,
who was that?
Yeah. I'm not even an answer. But every step of the process was a different person. So even after the permitting was approved, then we got inspectors and they wanted things that weren't in the plan. So this got added and this got added. And, you know, an electrical inspection failed. And we're like, well, what do they need to do it right? Well, tell them to redo it. Well, I'm paying him. Can I have a list so I can make sure he does it right? No, just tell him to redo it. So here he does it, comes out, inspects it, gets failed. Oh, no, here's a list. So yeah, every step's a different person, and depending on who you get, it can be smoother or rougher. So.
Rick?
I feel like an insider. I've been doing permitting in Tallahassee for 33 years, and you feel like you know everybody. And rather than going through kind of the formal process of getting moved around the phone tree, our phone calls are fairly direct to the people that we already know who can help us with a particular issue. So it's if there was a central point of communication, an ombudsman, an advocate, who kind of like your Austin example, for the occasional users of the system, that may end up being one of those process improvements that might help this situation out. But we pretty much know kind of who to call just because it's almost second nature to us.
Okay, and then the fourth and final question I have here is, has permitting gotten better? If so, how much? So, Rick, you kind of answered that, I think, by saying at the least we're poised for it to get better, right? How about you, Roger?
Since I did the VA outpatient clinic, I think it has gotten better. But it's. I think there's still, as compared to other communities, well, I think there's still a lot of room of improvement to be done.
Okay, Jeremy, what do you think?
I think there's definitely an effort for it to get better. One of the issues we had when we moved Gain Street Pies was just something silly in the sign code, and we took it to the commissioners and to Karen, and they got it resolved in a day, and it was a lot easier than anything we've done in the past. However, our most recent electrical project was a service upgrade, and that took about 3 months. And one of the issues we had there, when they finally came out and inspected it, the inspector didn't really know what to do, so he had to call his boss, who was the plan reviewer, to come out and see the site. So we're saying, oh, well, if the plan reviewer is making all these site visits, that's probably what's taking so long to get it approved in the first place.
Good catch.
Okay, so questions from the audience. Before we do that, I just want to ask one thing of the three of y'all. As this has come up in the past since I've been around, one of the things that comes up when people start telling these stories is fear of retribution. So I want to know if that, how you overcame that. You just don't care. I mean, talk about. Seriously. I mean, yeah. there's people that won't tell these stories, as y'all have had the courage to tell them, for fear that the next project will take even longer than the first one did. So, is that something you've heard? And how did you deal with that as you came to speak today? Roger, you look like you're ready to go.
Yes. And, part of the problem is, and I sympathize with the position that Rick has and what have you, is that you can't get an advocate for your project and getting through the process. You hire the engineers, but these poor gentlemen, they have another client, tomorrow that they have to go in front of the same people. So they really can't be your advocate for your project because, they know that they have, they've got other clients and they don't want to have it against you. Yeah, I think people in Tallahassee and what have you have long memories. And I've been told that by people on the staff. And
Okay, want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I'll say that in the world of engineers, you ought to be dealing in the world of science and math, right? I mean, you're one of those nerd guys that is dealing with, how big does the pipe need to be? How wide does the driveway need to be? How many parking spaces do you need? But there is a tipping point where you do roll over into an advocacy position when there is a subjective determination made on the other side, and when you start arguing in terms of art rather than science. And so to Roger's point, there are probably very few folks who have durable business models that take a scorched earth policy on every single project. And there is some level of diplomacy and communication, and frankly, how far up the phone tree do you have to get some attention, whether you rise all the way to the manager's office or whether you talk to the electeds. But these days, permitting issues really at the department manager down are mostly resolved. You probably have a solid metric in a reduction in the number of those kinds of lawsuits that you may have seen in the past between developers and city and county governments. I mean, there may be some fusses out there, but there was a period of time, especially after the implementation of the comp plan, where there were a lot of things moving to circuit court on disagreements related to land development matters, and we're just not seeing as many of those today.
Jeremy, you want to weigh in on that?
I'm not really afraid of any retribution or anything of that sort. I would hope the response would be, let's see how we can make permitting more customer service oriented and not the opposite of that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I have more of a comment to make than a question, but I'm sort of like Jeremy. I'm Bill Word. I'm the owner of the Orkin franchise here in town. And in the last 5 years, we've experienced tremendous growth. And so I'm at the point now where I need to go into a larger building. So I've been talking to engineering firms, to builders, to realtors, and everyone tells me it's going to take a year for me to build here in Leon County, which I believe, from hearing everyone's comments, I think that's true. If I go over to Gaston County in 1090, I can probably do something in 3 or 4 months. And I think it's really sad as a business owner that it's going to take me a year to build a building, and in the meantime, I'm having to pay rent, to my existing place, and then permitting fees, engineering fees, all those costs. Something needs to change. And I think, Jeremy said about talking, about working within the department, working with people, that would solve the issue. And it shouldn't take any more than 3 to 6 months to get permits processed through.
Okay. Who's got a question? Yes, sir.
God bless you, Jeremy. We needed you. Thank you for doing what you did on it. My question is this. I think it's for Rick. Rick, I had some information to tell me that it took 7.5 to 8 years to do the Walani development, and it cost $12 million. Could you please tell me how that happened and why it was so expensive?
My fees were not $12 million. Every project is different. That project started without even a comp plan designation. It started out as one of these sector plans, if that makes any sense, where you actually had to do a comp plan amendment to give it a comp plan designation, and then everything else after that. But the project was on a really good track until the economy bottomed out. And we got to the point of rezoning, and then the developer hit the pause button on the project and really let about 5 years of trough in the economy happen. And now the construction has started as the demand for lots in the residential economy has started, the construction economy started to pick back up. But I would say a fair amount of that time frame, which I don't disagree with, was a voluntary pause based on the economy and a downturn, but it was a big project. It was 1,000 acres of studies and pre-permitting, so to speak. But it's an expensive process to take on a master plan project in Tallahassee.
Yes, sir.
Back in the early 90s, during Clinton's first term of office, he gave a speech about controlling the border, immigration problems. And fast forward to yesterday, and that speech, word for word, would fit the situation today. It reminds me of Terry Fragley, who some of you probably know, Commercial Consultants Corporation, a major property owner in Tallahassee. Left Tallahassee 20-plus years ago, and his wife, Joan, they can move to Colorado Springs. I asked him why. He said, because permitting in Tallahassee is a nightmare. Fast forward to today. So what do we do about this?
Is that a question?
What do we do about this?
Let me share this story with you. We did the VA outpatient clinic. Rick did that permitting for us, and we spent almost five months getting that permit done, and went through a lot of hoops and what have you. And about after 4.5 months, the engineer for the city, we thought we had all the issues taken care of. The building was a little over 44,000 plus about a square feet. We're building on 4.6 acres. So we're in the threshold, what we look at in the rule of thumb in the industry is 10,000 feet per acre. We would be under that. And then the city engineer goes, he said, well, you own the road, St. James Court, which I built and put in. He said, well, that's 3.9 acres. He said, add that to your property, that makes you 4.99 acres. And he said, we're going to deem you 5 acres. And when you're 5 acres of more, it pushes you up into another threshold. And you're going to have to start the permitting process all over again. I said, we're 4.9, stop 5 acres. But we are deeming you 5 acres.
What do we do about this, Rick?
So that's a problem. I mean, I don't know how you solve that problem. So I had to go get my attorney and file a lawsuit saying, 4.9, there were two different lots. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. That's the kind of things that just don't make sense, that delay you for getting a project done and set you up. You don't know what the outcome is when you're going to do a project.
My suggestion is to produce specific, narrow examples. Make sure you know which regulatory authority that you're working with and which department you're working with. And then open up a discussion about how to cure, fix, or improve whatever that specific issue is, because it's a little bit of a like throwing a rubber ball down the hallway and the dog chases the ball. I mean, if you say the word permitting and throw, we can play fetch all day long, but you won't be able to figure out exactly surgically what needs to be adjusted. So I would encourage you to, as the storytelling happens, kind of parse between city and county, parse between building inspection and the development approvals. And then if it's another agency altogether, focus on that one. And then open a dialogue with people who can affect the change. Make sure they understand the issue and open a dialogue with the leaders of those different departments to try to have some kind of adjustment made.
Any ideas, Jeremy? And then we got a bunch more questions here.
First and foremost, just identify what the problems are. The time it takes is the symptom, but there's a reason why we're going slower than other cities. If we don't know what those problems are and how to fix them. And then secondly, as mentioned a couple times, a liaison that works for the city that's going through the process with developers or business owners so they can see it firsthand and relay that to whoever on staff needs to know and see what's going on rather than us saying, hey, this is going on, and not necessarily being believed.
Yeah.
All right, so we're running short on time. State your question real clearly. Marshall?
Just a general comment. I developed 72 acres off Ox Bottom Road in a little development called Sleepy Hollow. It took 6 years. Three engineers, four surveyors, and the city was right in front of me all the time, just blocking, you know, right when we thought we knew what was going on. And they even fought me when I wanted to move the road to save 8 or 10 large live oaks. My suggestions are these. They need to have a point person on each development to march the development through. They need to be on strict timetables so that it's captured within a certain time frame. The cost ought to be clear at the front end. The city imposed costs and permitting fees. And there should not be an adversarial relationship. It should be togetherness. They need to work together.
Okay. Arnie?
Yeah. I would just say that it seems, first off, we were told years ago that we combined our planning department for the city and the county. So why we have this left hand and right hand doesn't make any sense to me. Second, we hear elected officials tell us, well, it only takes 6 weeks to get a building permit. So what we probably need to do is take Rick's idea of an ombudsman. Number two, you need to have a checklist at the very beginning. That checklist needs to be filled out on the spot so you know exactly what you don't have. And then number three, probably what we ought to do is penalize the planning department, maybe $10,000 every day, set a goal of every permit being issued within 3 months, and every day after 3 months, $10,000 comes out of the budget of the planning department. I think then we can fight the government.
My situation is way different. I'm a very small landowner. All I want to do is build a $100,000 building on property I already own. I've already experienced the move in the sidewalk, the pre-existing sidewalk, the pre-submittal, and then a pre-submittal meeting. And what I see is, in addition to having liaison, which would have helped me significantly, because I don't even know if they're going to permit it or allow it if they want me to spend $5,000 to get an engineering site plan, which to me is like, well, I'm just a single mom with two kids, and I have a dream and a desire and a lot of energy. And so what disturbs me most about these subjects that you're talking about is you're talking about multi-million dollar, and I'm talking about one-third of an acre on 1,400 square foot duplex that I want to buy and build. And on land I already own, this RDC-45, it's already zoned, it's already perfect, but there's challenges. So I would like to see, as a suggestion, is also maybe people who not only are a point person for you, but have different, there are major project people and homeowner people, yep. And somewhere in the middle that are more experienced with dealing with people like myself who need hand-holding all the way through. Don't need really a Rick, because my budget isn't that big.
Okay, we got just time for a couple more. If you have a question for the panelists, that would be great. Yes, sir.
What is RDC? What are the steps that are being taken? Are you measuring the time at each step? Is it tracked on the website where people can see it? What's already being done?
Okay, in case you couldn't hear, what is already being done is the question. Is stuff being tracked? And I see Commissioner Ziffer, are you offering to answer that question?
Well, I want to try to answer it and also just bring some time relation to it. I think all of us appreciate, because I'm a small business owner, believe me, over the years I've had clients, you and I worked on the line together a few years ago. But the project, I'm just saying, the project on the main hand you mentioned 20 years ago, we don't have anybody in our growth management department that was here 20 years ago because it all took too long. We've gotten better. Are we perfect? No. Are we great? No. But we've gotten a lot better. And there are some people, because I know people in Mad Dog will say this, they fly through it. And the fact of the matter is if you have your ducks in a row, you can move quicker, which is why Rick gets to go through quicker because he knows we're all things are you need to do. Jeremy, I'm sitting with my folks here. They want to know who that inspector was that said, I make the decision. Because you know something? We don't want people like that working in the city of Tallahassee. So they want to have a conversation. The other thing is, let's get small business owner over here. You're absolutely right. For small folks that can't or don't afford to hire Rick, and I'm sorry, Rick. there needs to be somebody that they can call at the very first step, yes, we're talking about that, that can come in and give exactly what you need to do, because it's not fair to hold that small business owner up, and you're not going to have a disagreement from these two folks.
Great.
Commissioner Maddox, I don't know if you want to say anything, but we're not perfect, but we're a lot better. And I can tell you something, 20 years ago, if the people that were in office or that were in growth management saw Game Street, they said, no, we're not going to do that. It would have taken way too long. And the fact is, we really do try to push things through, but we can do better. And some of the suggestions today, I know they're listening to. I'm pretty sure you are too, Scott.
Great.
And so we'll implement it. So what you're doing here today is extremely helpful. So thank you. That's my question.
Okay, did any of y'all want to weigh in on the question, or you want me to move on to the next one?
I'll just say that there is a electronic submittal process and electronic tracking process of every permit that you can, once you turn it in, see it online, count the number of days that it's been in review. So there is a move towards transparency in that process. It's something implemented both at the city and the county.
Make sure it's a
question. Okay, last question.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Great. Yeah.
Jeremy, you told us what you did when you opened Game Street, which is your first one. And then you've done subsequent ones, and they've been in already restaurants, and you've already been through the process. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your experience opening Midtown and Northside, if that was any.
Okay. One of the biggest things we look for when opening Midtown, like I said, was it's already a restaurant, and the infrastructure that we needed to open was already in place. So there were already hoods there. There were already sinks there. Basically, a permit to install an oven that didn't need to go through the actual building process. So small permits, a lot quicker, a lot easier. That's why we targeted those specific buildings when opening. But the overall goal, when looking for a place to open a new restaurant, it really narrows down the choice if we're willing to take a year or however long it's going to take to really invest in a site. If we wanted to go to the east side and there's not an old restaurant there, like, what are our options? And it slows down whether we want to actually take that investment in time.
Let's give these guys a round of applause for the first.
You've been listening to a delayed broadcast of the February 28, 2017 luncheon meeting of NEBA, the Network of Entrepreneurs and Business Advocates. This meeting featured a panel discussion on permitting and the process local governments use to approve construction projects. This program was recorded at the Capital City Country Club in Tallahassee. Join us again next time for another NEBA luncheon meeting on WFSU-FM.